We're in Nashville, Tennessee on our election road trip. It's a city where you can hear live country music day and night. This is the home of country music. The Grand Ole Opry is here. The Johnny Cash Museum, it's part of the place. And when we hear country music in other parts of the U.S., it evokes something you can't quite put your finger on, something that politicians love to associate themselves with. We wanted to find out just what it was, so we went to Don Cusick, professor of music industry history at Belmont University here in Nashville. We met with him in his office on Music Row, which has a lot of history all by itself.
Oh, yeah. This was Owen Bradley's office originally, who built the first studio on music, what became Music Row, the Quonset Hut, which is just down the hall from my office, maybe 50 steps or so. This was also the office of Billy Sherrill. This is where Stand By Your Man was written.
And really? Right in this office?
In this office. The piano was over on the wall right behind me, and right over the wall I'm looking at is where Billy's desk was. A lot of those Tammy Wynette songs were written in here.
Today, the office is filled with books about music. There are guitars on the floor and CDs, all pieces of the puzzle that is country music. Why is it called that anyway?
Well, the official reason is that Billboard named it country after calling it folk and then country and western. But it represents the rural roots of the music, the small town roots to the music. In sociological terms, it's country music is the music of the white working class. Just like urban music is the music of the black working class. White working class still has blue collars, but they're buttoned down now, and sometimes they have a tie. And they still work with their hands, but their hands are on the keyboard of a computer instead of hands on the shovel.
Why did Nashville become the center of country music?
There's not one single reason, but the biggest reason is the Grand Ole Opry, which became almost, or it came a national show on the network in the beginning of 1939.
It's Grand Ole Opry time!
Howdy, all your friends and neighbors!
Because it was clear channel, 50,000 watt, could reach a significant portion of the country. And from there, you have the Musicians Union allowing in country performers. You have the studios being built here. You have a lot of factors going along. Acuff Rose Publishing. Owen Bradley always said it's because Ernest Tubb, who was one of the biggest stars of his time, wanted to record here, and his label agreed to that.
How did it become involved with politics, or when did that start?
During the 1960s, country music was the counter to the counterculture. And here you have the liberals with rock music, pop music, and country music answering that with songs like Okie from Muskogee, which was an anthem for the silent majority.
And I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee, a place where even squares can have a ball. We still wave old glory down at the courthouse, and white lightning's still the biggest thrill of all.
Stand By Your Man, which was traditional values versus going on the honeymoon before you went through the ceremony.
Stand by your man. Give him two arms to cling to and something warm to come to. When nights are cold and lonely.
But the real involvement came from George Wallace. When George Wallace ran for president, there were country artists who were called on to perform for him, and they did. And they always thought that Wallace was one of them, or he was one of us. And so that direct political involvement really was through George Wallace more than anyone else.
But was it the message in the music that he wanted, or the sound and what it evoked for people?
He wanted a crowd at his rallies so that people would come and see him and hear him. And the other thing was connecting to that counter to the counterculture.
More recently, country music has helped us in times of national sorrow with its patriotic sound. Just think of the song that played over and over again from coast to coast after 9/11, Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
There's a phrase that we hear from day one: we live in the greatest country on earth. And that phrase has two different meanings. For conservatives, it means done deal, case closed. For liberals, it means we're the greatest country in the world because that's what we want to be. That's our aspiration. That's what we're striving to be. So protesting is legitimate. Pointing out faults, pointing out problems is all legitimate because we are headed in that direction. We're on a journey and not just a destination.
So when Lee Greenwood's song becomes big after 9/11, what does that say to you?
It says we're rallying behind the country. That song, they were playing that when the troops were invading Iraq. And we've always felt that we have been blessed by God, that we are a city on a hill, that we are special, we are unique, and we are the best. Toby Keith had Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue, which was a much more belligerent song, much more subtle one out of 9/11 was Alan Jackson's Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Were you in the yard with your wife and children or working on some stage in L.A.?
But there was a whole host of patriotic songs that came after 9/11 and when we entered the Iraq War.
But a lot of them were in that genre of country. Why is that?
Again, because country tends to be have a conservative audience, and that conservative audience believes patriotism is part of that being part of the greatest country on earth. We're going to defend not only the country, but our belief in being the greatest country on earth.
There has also been controversy when country music has gotten too political for some people.
The big one is the Dixie Chicks.
As usual, I didn't plan anything, but I thought I'd say something brand new and just say, just so you know, we're ashamed the President of the United States is from Texas.
When here we were going into the, or in the Iraq War, and she criticized President Bush. And politicians say worse things about each other all the time. But what they said, well, we had a tsunami of patriotism, a tsunami of support for the war and the president, and especially with the country audience, and they were part of the country music establishment, for them to criticize the president, that was total taboo. If they'd been in the pop world, not a problem.
And in fact, we've had some country artists criticizing this president in their songs.
Well, it's a lot easier for the country artists and the country audience to criticize a Democratic president, especially a black Democratic president, for his policies. I think the policies really go back, I mean, the criticism really goes back to policies, the conservative view of small government, individual rights, rugged individualism than anything else. But yeah, it's been plentiful out there.
Like what? Give me an example.
Well, we've had, of course, Ray Stevens has done a number of songs and several albums criticizing the president.
You can't forget about how we did it yesterday. Obama is changing things and doing it his way. And all that I can say is, it's an Obama nation.
Ray Stevens works just down the street from Don Cusick, so we stopped by his studio.
I don't like any politicians whatsoever. I got a new name for them. They're Republicrats. They're all the same. I think Donald Trump might be our guy. I don't know, though. I don't have a crystal ball.
Would you perform at a rally for him?
Yeah, I might.
And what song would you sing?
I don't know. I'll probably write one for him.
What would you call it?
Make America Great Again.
So far, a song that hasn't been written by a country artist. But what role is country music playing in this campaign? Well, at a rally for John Kasich in Nashville over the weekend, listen to what was playing on the speakers. It's a group called Florida Georgia Line. The words, "That's how we do it round here," make perfect sense, says Don Cusick.
Yeah, it's that connection to I'm one of you, you're one of us. It's that connection. We're all in this together.
Now, it is worth pointing out that the vast majority of country music is not political.
What you find most of the time with younger artists is that they don't want to alienate anybody because of radio airplay. They don't want to upset the apple cart there.
Yeah, I have to say, when I listen to country music on the radio, it's usually not about politics. It's about love. It's about, I'm thinking of God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy. A lot of beer songs.
Yeah. Well, beer is good. Most country music is about love songs, either getting it, losing it, or keeping it. And bottom line is entertainment. And people want to be, they want to be surprised by the familiar. You connect with the artists, with the songs. And most people connect over love.
And better yet, love of beer.
And I left a six-pack right there on his grave. And I said, God is great, beer is good. People are crazy. God is great.